We've been asked to read from Ephesians chapter 5, a few verses. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. Of course, a familiar scripture dealing with husbands' duties and wives' duties. And I notice in verse 24, it's wives subject to their own husbands. And then it's a general statement speaking generally to husbands, generally to wives. But in verse 33, it says, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. So it comes down this morning as we got to read the scripture and understand as God is speaking to each one of us personally. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And skipping down to verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And it seems like in verse 25, to love your wife as Christ loved the church is a higher standard than for a man to love his wife even as himself. But the verses I skipped over, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, because no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord does the church. And then he goes on to say, this is a mystery, something that was hard to understand in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New. Let's kneel as we pray.
The message this morning is the second in our Attention to Parenting series. The first message was dealt with the male role. This morning it focuses on the female role. Last time we laid some foundations regarding parenting. We mentioned that parenting doesn't just happen on its own. You must make a choice to be a better parent, a choice to learn more, a choice to repent of whatever we are doing wrong. We mentioned that scripture shows a dual force working in parenting, that our positive actions can pull our children to Christ, and our negative actions can push our children away from Christ. We mentioned that children are not victims. No matter how badly you treat them, they can still choose the path of Christ. It's just that our actions make it so much harder for them to choose Christ. We mentioned how a father's role is so important. Passive fathers are a negative influence on their children. Aggressive fathers are a negative influence on their children. Fathers who are controlling, show too much authority, angry, and speak shame to their children will push their children away from Christ. Today we want to speak about the role of the mother, of the wife. When you get in the driver's seat of the car, at your feet you find two pedals that play different roles in the operation of your car. The gas pedal is to your right on the floor. The brake pedal is to the left on the floor of the car. These two pedals play two different roles in the car's function. The gas pedal makes your car go. That's its function. The brake pedal makes your car slow or stop. That's its function. Now, even though the one makes the car go and the other makes the car stop, these two roles are not opposite to each other, are they? Both functions are necessary to get you to your destination. To get from point A to point B, there is a necessity of a series of speeding up the gas pedal and slowing down the brake pedal. So these two pedals, side by side, they are not working opposite each other. They are working together in the role assigned to them by the creator of the car to get you to your destination. Now suppose the brake pedal would decide to perform the function of the gas pedal. What would happen? Your car would not be able to stop. It would create chaos in the car, not just for the driver, but for the children in the back seat. To get smoothly to your destination, it's imperative that the brake pedal stay committed to its role and the gas pedal stay committed to its role. Wives and mothers, are you committed to the role that God created you for? God created the home to have a father and a mother function side by side. He gave them each specific functions to help get your family safely down the path of life. And they're not opposite roles. Rather, they complement each other in the path of life. And sadly, some mothers in the home are trying to assume the role of the father. Instead of following their role, they decide to take on the role of the father. And we see families in chaos as God's design is altered. And your children are hurting. Your role reversal pushes them away from Christ in his way. Your role reversal makes it harder for them to follow God's word. As conservative brethren, we are appalled by the transgender movement where biological boys can choose to be girls and biological girls can choose to be boys. We're appalled by that. It upsets us at the actions of stores like Target, who have gotten rid of baby boy and baby girl sections and boy and girls toys. They got away from these labels and went to gender neutral labeling. And we boycott Target. We get upset. Yet inside our homes, behind closed doors, some wives have taken on the role of husbands, and some husbands have taken on the role of wives. Some wives want to be the head of the home and control decisions. Some husbands want to be passive and be a follower. It's a transgender switch of function. In our homes, the gas pedal is now trying to be the brake, and the brake pedal trying to speed up the car, and our children are hurting. We are aware of how divorce and remarriage is hurting so many children. And we don't allow that at Pleasant Hill. Yet this role reversal in our homes is having the same devastating consequences. Recently, I talked to a church official at Rhodes Grove, and he told me something I wrote down because I knew I was going to be preaching on this subject. And he said in his church, he sees passive fathers and dominant mothers, and it's destroying families. Unquote. They pay the consequences. The children pay the consequence. The functional role of the wife is described in Genesis 2, verse 18 and 21 to 23. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Verse 18 calls her function a helpmeet. She is to assist and support her husband in his role of leadership. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man." Notice that God made her from the rib of Adam. symbolic that she is equal in essence to the man. He did not make the woman from Adam's toe as if she is something beneath the man. She proceeded from his side because in essence, her role is one of equality to the man. Yet in function, she submits to his leadership and provides support and assistance as a helper. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church submits unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Notice the wife is to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. We submit to Christ. As a church, we try to submit to Christ. We are his helpmeet. We are his arms. We are his feet. And as we submit to the headship of Christ, we are under his umbrella of protection and care, and we are blessed. He leads. He carries our burdens. He carries our cares. It's a wonderful place to be. And the wife, as she functions in the role of submission, is in a blessed, blessed place. It didn't take long for Adam and Eve to switch roles. In Genesis 3, verse 16, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So we see Eve took on the leadership role. She made the decision to eat, to act, and to eat. And Adam became passive. He followed his wife's leadership. Instead of protecting her, he instead followed her and ate. And the rest is history, a history of hurting people and chaos in the world. In Genesis 3, verse 16, it's a fascinating verse. We see God cursed the world because of Adam and Eve's sin. To Eve, he said in verse 16, "Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire," and this is the phrase we're focusing on, "and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." The Hebrew word for desire comes from an Arabic root that means to compel, to seek control over. And one interpretation of the word desire is that it means that the woman would have an illicit desire to usurp his headship. She would seek to control, to be the head. But God also says, "He shall rule over you." Now, rule is not your ordinary word for godly headship. It's speaking more of a dictator-like role. So we see the perpetual struggle brought by the curse upon many. There's going to be this battle for control. The woman's desire would be to control the husband instead of submitting. But the man would harshly rule the wife instead of a gentle, godly leadership. And the curse brought distress to marriages, just like it brought distress to the fields with the weeds. But in Christ, you have the ability to overcome the curse and live above it. In Christ is freedom to live in Genesis 2, family harmony. In Christ, the wife can lovingly submit, and the husband and the man can lovingly rule. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How do some try to control their husbands? I want to give a list of controlling tactics, characteristics. And actually, this list applies to us men just as well. Characteristics that harm your children and bring emotional scars. And you might say, "Well, Ray, not at Pleasant Hill. This doesn't happen at Pleasant Hill." I want to say that none of us knows what goes on behind closed doors except the children. Behind closed doors can be a totally different world than what is publicly displayed. Controlling symptom number one is anger and shouting. Some mothers use anger and shouting to intimidate their husband and children. And I realize sometimes you mothers, you need to speak loudly, and even Jesus got angry. But to continually berate your husband or child, to bring them into subjection, is an abuse of God's design for you. I read the testimony of a lady who described as a child, she broke a window, and I thought you might want to hear what she said. She said, "I could have been seriously hurt. I didn't run to the bathroom, though, or yell to alert my mom. Instead, I stood among the broken glass for a good half hour, sobbing soundly to myself because I was afraid that she'd be so mad. When I finally told her, she was so mad. I remember how her face paled vividly and the veins popped green on her forehead. She screamed so loud that my ears rang. She told me I'd wasted her money. We'd just gotten a new window. She told me I was inconsiderate, irresponsible, stupid. How dumb can you be?" she said. She never once asked me if I was okay. She never once thanked her lucky stars that I didn't actually fly out the second story window. Instead, she ignored me for days. It felt like weeks. That was always her punishment for me, unquote. Controlling anger and shouting will push our children away from Christ. Controlling symptom number two is a contentious spirit. A contentious spirit is an attitude of always disagreeing, always having a better way, being quarrelsome, argumentative. Proverbs 21 verse 19 says, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." Quarrelsome, argumentative, always disagreeing. Proverbs 19 verse 13 says, "The contentions of a wife are a continual dropping." George Lawson said, "As the rain that drops through an old house rots the timber and will in time wear away the very stones, so the everlasting reflections and complaints of a woman prey upon the vitals of a man and consume his heart with unceasing anguish." Unquote. A woman who is constantly angry and continuously and is contentious is actually as enjoyable as a dripping faucet. God's design for marriage joy is completely obliterated in an angry, contentious, controlling woman. Controlling symptom number three is that of criticisms and put-downs. When a wife seeks to control her husband, many times she does it by actively criticizing him and demeaning his character. In order to lift herself up, she feels the need to put him down. "You're a loser. Why can't you get a real job? All the other men are good at fixing washing machines. Why can't you fix it? You can't do anything right." Many times a mother will treat her daughter the same way. "You're no good at cooking. You're not going to be a good wife." Belittling, downgrading, and the child withers from the emotional abuse. And they soon come to believe the lies told them. They soon give up and live down to the beliefs of their mother. Or it could be the father in this case, in your case. I want to just emphasize, this list applies to us men as well as to the sisters. The fourth controlling symptom is blame and shame. No matter what happens, it's the other spouse's fault. Words are used to bring guilt and shame upon the spouse. If he buys a new mower and it breaks, she calls him an idiot for not buying a new mower. If he buys a new mower, she will shame him for the extra money spent. Everything is his fault. If her daughter burns a brownie, she's called careless. If she bakes them in the wrong pan, she's called worthless. If she uses the wrong ingredients, she's told she can never amount to anything. And when the daughter starts to live down to her mother's expectations and stops making brownies altogether, she's called lazy. Shame and guilt are heaped upon the children and the spouse. The fifth controlling tactic is isolation. She will try to control who he meets with and isolate him from freedom and friends. Basically, he is only to spend time with her. No thought is given to his need for friendship with others. Someone said, abusive wives are controlling. She will control who you hang out with, where you go, where you work, what you do with your paycheck, what you wear, and how often you talk to family or friends. Controlling symptom number 6, she has to be the main decision maker in the family. In other words, not the helpmeet in making decisions, but the main decision maker in the family. God's order for headship is the Father, Christ, man, and woman. Woman is listed as being under man, but she still is equal to him in value. She is not lower in worth. However, God designed that she play the role, the function of submission to a husband who loves her like Christ. God created this system of authority to help bring order in the family so there would not be contention and anger and quarreling. And sometimes sisters, behind closed doors, try to flip that order. In the home, she tries to usurp man's God-given authority. There is contention, anger, and quarreling. Or the man inside the home tries to flip that order. He becomes passive, or behind closed doors, he becomes like this mean dictator. I want to give a note to us men, as we were talking about a woman and submitting. Remember, God has given her to us to be a helpmeet. And so if we don't value her opinion, we are going outside of God's design for us. We need to seek her input. We can't be that dictator like was predicted under the curse. We need to love her like Christ does the church. But in many of our homes, the gas pedal and the brake pedal are reversed. The man submits, the woman rules, and we become transgender outside of the roles the Creator assigned to us. Instead of working together inside the rule God gave us, we fight against God's authority and insist the brake pedal should really make the car go. God, forgive us for our sins. As husband and wives, we need to repent if we got the pedals mixed up. What effects does our transgender role in marriage have on the children? And I mentioned that this is a message on parenting. What effects does it have on our children? We saw the Creator gave us male roles and female roles. We saw how when these roles get distorted, where males become passive or controlling, where females become domineering or angry and controlling. What are the results on the children when there is this role reversal? Many of you have seen some rather very large trees out in the forest. They come up maybe 5-6 feet, and then the trunk goes horizontal for a good ways, maybe 10 feet, and then the tree goes up vertical again. What happened? What made it like that? Well, in the tree's young days, something had fell on that tree. It had been bent. Until this day, the bent shape is retained. You see, every cause has an effect. And every time we get outside of God's will, there are consequences. And sadly, in the home, it's the children that pay the consequences. We bend their lives, and it's hard to straighten them out. Our children know what is going on in the home. I had a teenage girl tell me one time, she said, if you want to know how a marriage relationship is going, just ask the children. The children are behind closed doors. They bear the brunt of the emotional and physical abuse. Our actions behind closed doors can push our children away from Christ. If we are outside our God-given role, the first effect on our children is that of they become angry and confused. The child sees his or her mother outside of God's design for her. And by nature, she knows something isn't right. And so many times he or she reacts in anger. And they're confused. They hear God's role for men and women taught in church. Yet behind closed doors, they see something completely different happening. And the girls, they struggle with their feminism. They see mom acting like the man, and they're unsure about things. The boys struggle with their masculinity. They see their physical dad displaying characteristics of a mom. And they see their physical mom displaying characteristics of a dad. And so there is confusion, and it comes out in anger many times. Another effect on children is insecurity and low self-confidence. Just pretend that you were employed in a company that was dysfunctional. Your bosses are always angry with each other, and they yell at you at your job. The owner is afraid to make decisions, and he never acts fast enough. Now, you notice that the supervisor tries to take on the role of the owner, even though he's not qualified to do that. And you see at your job, you see and hear the dysfunctions, and you know you have house payments, you know you have a family to support, and it makes you feel insecure in your job. Will it last? What will happen next? How long will this company last? How can I make my payments? Children inside the home are much more vulnerable than someone struggling with their job. The children see their mom and dad fighting. They see their dad afraid to make decisions, being passive, or possibly he's that cruel dictator. They see mom trying to take on the role of the father, something she's not qualified to be under God's word. And they hear the verbal abuse. They feel insecure about themselves. They wonder what will happen next. They know that something's not right. They are helpless to fix their parents' dysfunction. I want to quote the lady I quoted earlier. Just a short quote. She said, here's the thing. My mom never beat me. She never assaulted me in any way, but she was cruel. She was emotionally abusive. Just because you don't see the scars, it doesn't mean that they're not there. Just because we can't see the scars on our children doesn't mean they're not there. Our children bear the scars in their hearts. Insecurity, low self-confidence, confusion, anger. It's interesting. Parents do all kinds of things to help their children develop. They might teach them to play a musical instrument. They might teach them to be good at sports. They might teach them scripture. And they might teach them all kinds of biblical principles. And these are good things to do. And with scripture, it's something we must do. But I want to say this. It is what the child observes in the interaction between his mom and dad that builds him up the most or destroys him the most. That is what makes the difference. As a parent, you can understand zero about parenting. Yet if your children see their dad loving their mom, and they see their mom respecting their dad, this will make a major impact on their spiritual, emotional, and physical health. And maybe we need to throw away all the parenting books and simply follow God's design and role for men and women in the home. And this will make a big difference in our children. Oswald Chambers said, "The greatest benefits God has conferred on human life, fatherhood, motherhood, childhood, home, become the greatest curse is if Jesus Christ is not the head." Sisters, it's easy to rationalize your behavior. I know as husbands, it's easy to rationalize our behavior. Maybe some of you sisters are thinking, "Well, this is how my mom interacted in our home." Well, does that make it right? If she was outside of God's design, that means you're now outside of God's design also. And sisters, perhaps you rationalize it by saying, "Well, he won't lead, so someone has to. I'm going to have to step up to the plate. He won't lead, so I have to." Do you? Does the ends justify the means? Does the need for leadership justify you going outside of God's design for you? Sometimes check 1 Peter 3, verse 1 and 2. Here it talks about a woman displaying a spirit of meekness and respect will influence her husband to be the person he should be. Never get outside of your role. We spoke mostly on the negative concerning sister's role, and I did that on purpose. I felt there was the Spirit put on my heart that there was a need for this. But possibly some are asking, "Ray, I'm just following the role my mom played out in our home. So if that's not right, how am I to act? What is my role?" Well, we already talked about the helpmeet role. I want you to listen to these other scriptures. Titus 2, verse 4, it says that they, talking about the older sisters, what they can teach the younger sisters, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Your role is to love. Love your husband. Love your children. Your role is also to reverence, respect your husband. Ephesians 5, verse 33, "Nevertheless, let everyone in you particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." The word reverence here means to show respect. Your role in the home is to show respect to your husband. In Colossians 3, verse 18, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as is fit in the Lord." This is a beautiful quality of submission in the home. We already talked about being under the blessing it is as the church is under Christ. Even so, it's a blessing for a woman to be under the umbrella authority of the man. Ephesians 5, verse 13, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." The role of submission. Your role is also to have a meek and gentle spirit. 1 Peter 3, verse 3, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." The beautiful role of a meek and quiet spirit. You sisters are also to have the beautiful role of clinging to your husband. In Genesis 2, verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Both husbands and wives, you left your mother behind. You are cleaving to your spouse. You don't bring your mother to your house to rule your house. You cleave to your husband. You cleave to your wife. You have the role of being keepers at home. Titus 2, verse 5. "To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home." good, obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Keepers at home. Your sisters, your calling is to stay at home and guide your child. Your calling is to have a home that is clean. Your calling is to have a home that is not full of clutter. You are to make the home a pleasant place, a place of love and peace and goodness. I want to close with an illustration that's presented actually in Psalm 128, verse 3. In Psalm 128, verse 3, it says, "Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about the table." So just in your imagination, can you picture the wife pictured as a fruitful vine growing all around the house? Lush, green, pleasant leaves, lots of fruit, a joy to be around. The children are pictured as olive plants around the table, growing, green, well taken care of in the shade of the vine. I want to ask the sisters, would your children describe you as a fruitful vine or as a cactus? Are you pleasant to be around, or are you prickly and hurtful? Your role in the home will either push your children away from Christ or draw them to him. Husbands and wives, is your gas and brake pedal functioning properly inside the home? Is maintenance required to get things back in shape? You know, it's never too late. That's the thought that the Lord put on me. It's never too late. Even if your children are teenagers, or even if they left the house, a positive change on your part, getting back into the function God has for you, it will still make a big impact on your children. God's grace is here. No matter how long we lived a dysfunctional marriage, God's grace is here. He forgives you. He loves you. He wants to restore you to the role he designed for you. Now is the time. You need to do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to function properly as God has designed for you in the home. May God bless these thoughts as maybe we think about them more throughout this week.
We've been richly blessed. Now our job is to remember. So let's have a little bit of a refresher course. In his introduction, Brother Ray talked about the positive and the negative. You know, here some time ago, I wanted to recharge the battery for our camper. And I was in a hurry, and I put the plus on the negative and the negative on the plus, and things didn't work out well. And that's the point Brother Ray's making. So he led us into the thought of our brake pedal and our gas pedal, and what happens if we get the roles reversed. Have you ever been in a meeting where the director of the discussion felt it necessary to do a little bit of role playing to get the point across? And Brother Ray did that verbally for you and I with this gas pedal, brake pedal situation. And what he was saying is, I want you to picture some role playing here, but it's not play. It's serious. Did you get that point? We're not playing around here. There's some problems in our families, my own included. This is serious business. And then in closing, he said, it's time for some maintenance on the gas pedal, the brake pedal, or the engine that they operate. So it's not playing. It's serious business. And then he went into the meat of the message, the scripture. And the wife seeking control, and how detrimental. And he gave us quite a few points there, call our attention to. And then he talked about the children. I don't know how many of you ever heard me say this, but this came to me years ago. You know, marital math is not the same as common math. Marital math says 1 + 1 = 1. And he talked about how serious we take divorce and remarriage as a congregation. But think of the detriment that's going on to the children when the home isn't functioning properly. And brothers and sisters, if 1 + 1 = 1, the children, and the one that you're putting together separate, what do you have left? One half. There's too many one half children walking around out there. That's the crux of the message this morning. This is serious business. And then he didn't leave us hanging high and dry. He gave us scriptural pointers of what to do, the positive, right from the book. Right from the book. He said, I don't know how many of you called him, maybe it's time to throw some of those parental guiding books away and get back to what the Bible says. And here they are. Titus 2:4. We need to learn to love properly. Ephesians 5:3. We need to reverence and respect. The wife does. And the husband as well. And then he mentioned Colossians 3:18. Proper submission. And I'm Brother Ray, I'm going to add a little bit to that. With joy. How blessed it is when we submit ourselves one to another in joy. And fourthly, the woman needs to be of a meek and a quiet spirit. 1 Peter 3:3. And there needs to be that clinging or that cleaving effect. Is your marriage, I'm sorry, but Brother Donald, I just happened to glance over, and I had to think of Brother Donald and Sister Naomi. You want to talk about, and Brother Fred and Sister Marion, and Brother Merle and Sister Pat, you want to talk about the clinging and cleaving effect. Don't imagine, right before our very eyes, we have examples. Look up to them. And finally, he mentioned being keepers at home. Now, there was a thought came to me as Brother Ray was talking. You know, there's going to come times when Daddy is just going to have to flat out make a decision. Mommy and Daddy just cannot agree on something. And I was in a class one time taught by Brother Harold Martin on this very topic. And Brother Harold raised everybody's eyebrows with this statement concerning that fact. There are going to be times when mothers and daddies cannot agree. And here's the statement. Brother Harold said, at that time, Daddy has to become a benevolent dictator. And I mean, some men sat up straight, and Brother Harold chuckled, and he said, I saw quite a few eyebrows raised. And then he explained what he meant. And Brother Ray brought it out beautifully. Loving. Benevolent means loving. You, as a benevolent dictator, when you need to make them decisions, you're going to cherish and you're going to mull through your mind what you and your wife couldn't agree on, and you're going to give serious thought to her point of view. But you got to make the final decision. And then finally, I just want to share with you, something personal. As concerning Brother Ray's point of mother and daddy being on the same page when it comes time to make decisions concerning children. Brothers and sisters, I could have very easily gotten mixed up with the wrong crowd. And as I look out over this audience, I see those of my age that I started hanging around with that helped me to make the change. But right about the time that that change was starting to happen, one night a bunch of us guys were out gallivanting around in one of the guys' cars, and it had never occurred before with this group, but that night they determined in their mind they're going to get their hands on some beer. Mom and Dad had drilled into my head, don't do that. And I told those guys, if that's what you're going to do, I'm driving the car. And I'll tell you exactly where it happened, and I'm going to tell you what happened. And young people, pay attention. At the end of Lake Road, right down below the old high school, I came to the stop sign, and all of a sudden, I felt something wet hit the back of my head. I came to find out later, if you guzzle beer, it's going to come up quicker and it goes down. And that's exactly what one of those guys was doing, and he vomited all over me. I slammed that car in gear. I went back down to the gas station where my car was. I parted company with those guys, excuse me. And I went home. Mom and Dad were in bed. And I went right to them. And I didn't have a real cushy, lovey-lovey relationship. My dad was a strict man. My mom was a loving mother. And sometimes she spoiled us. Ask my wife. She can tell you all about that. But anyway, I told Mom and Dad exactly what happened. And they did exactly what Brother Ray said to do. They didn't come back at me. Didn't we tell you? They didn't come back at me that way. And that didn't happen a lot. But this night it did. They believed me. They didn't say, didn't we tell you, and so on and so. They believed me and left it go at that. Mothers and daddies, boys and girls, it was a changing effect in my life. There's nothing that we can do greater in parenting than be in unity of spirit when decisions for the children need to be made. Boy, they'll pick up on it just like that. If there's the smallest chink, they're going to see it. It's going to do more harm than good. Shall we stand for prayer?